All right, please be seated. We are in Parshat Tzav today. We're also Shabbat Haggadol. So Tzav, I'll just state shortly, recounts many of the different types of sacrifices. And we have here a recounting of the Olah here, normally sort of the freewill offering here, considered to be the Tamid or everyday offering. We have the Chatat, the sin offering for inadvertent sins, the stuff that we do wrong that we don't know we do wrong, and a host of other parts. But it's also another important day today, and Gail Sherman will share some remarks with us.
Shabbat Shalom. Tzav, of course, means command. And one thing that Rabbi Kosak forgot to mention is that this parsha begins in the Eitz Chaim on page 613. Whoa. So there could be a whole Dvar Torah, I think, about that, but I want to call attention first to the first line in Tzav, which many of our illustrious rabbis of the past have wanted to interpret. This is the line that says the fire has to keep burning on the altar all day, all night, forever. Many rabbis have said, well, really, this is not on the altar, it's within us. We need to keep that fire burning within us. But Eitz Chaim, in its infinite wisdom, at the bottom of page 613, says, no, we should make sure that we see that the enthusiasm and dedication of the clergy are continued and are never extinguished. Well, I think that if you had the good luck to go and read Rabbi Kosak's Oasis song this week, you have been inspired by the enthusiasm and dedication of our clergy. We have gotten a lovely resource, material that we can keep with us. It'll probably become a collector's item, telling us all about American synagogue music, which we'll enjoy more of in the Musaf. And Rabbi Posen, for those of you who subscribe to her Dvar Torah, gave us some really pithy words on holier than thou. So there's a lot that's special that's going on, but in addition, it's Shabbat HaGadol. And there must be something special that actually points to. Is there some holiday coming up or something? Oh, right, Passover, right. Is there anyone here who isn't totally aware that next Friday night is the first Seder of Passover? If so, Shabbat HaGadol is here to tell you that that's the case. Like Rosh Hashanah, which has seven haftarot leading up to it, plus the whole month of Elul, Pesach has four special Shabbatot. Really, I count five, but four special Shabbatot leading up to it. Two of them before Purim, Shabbat Shekalim, which tells us that Adar is here, and Shabbat Zachor, which tells us Purim is coming right around the corner. And then the Shabbat of the mysterious red heifer that announces that, well, in another week, we're going to get to Nisan, the month in which Passover comes. And finally, last week, no, it wasn't just daylight savings time, was it? No, last week was Shabbat HaChodesh, which calls our attention to time and mitzvot. It's the Shabbat before the first day in Nisan on which we got the commandment to sanctify the new moon, and Jewish standard time officially got started. So that was last week, otherwise known as the week that Chametz reduction time begins in earnest. You know how that goes. Hey, shouldn't we finish this spaghetti and that beer and those cookies and, carbo loading? But the endurance event that's coming up is not a 5K run, not even a marathon. It's getting ready to eat matzah for 7 or even 8 days in a row. So in case we missed all of those signposts, Shabbat HaGadol, the big Shabbat, the last Shabbat before Passover, comes to announce this to us. It's the very last Shabbat that we get to rest before cleaning the house and making the lists and koshering the kitchen and shopping for the groceries and making the charoset and the gefilte fish and planning the Seder and, oh, running to the store to get the parsley I forgot and where are the extra chairs. Oh, my goodness, that's the big deal I'm usually thinking about when we get to Shabbat HaGadol. And surprisingly enough, not too many of the male rabbis whose commentaries I read actually seem to associate that with Shabbat HaGadol. Amazingly enough, Rabbi Cheryl Peretz, who at least 5 years ago was the associate dean of the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies, does agree with me. She said in a Dvar Torah about 5 years ago that maybe the reason we have Shabbat HaGadol right before Pesach is because the special significance of the Shabbat is in danger of being diminished as we, in the wake of the coming holiday, as we rush to engage in all of its necessary preparation. So that's one good reason that we might think of it as being called Shabbat HaGadol. Do we all know why it's called Shabbat HaGadol? Did you look at the program and say, oh yeah, Shabbat HaGadol, that's because, well, if you don't know, you're in good company with Rashi. Because Rashi says, people are used to calling the Shabbat before Pesach Shabbat HaGadol, but they don't know why, and I don't know why. And indeed, there are no references to it in Talmud, certainly not in Torah, but not surprisingly, lots of other commentators have offered lots of explanations for why we have this great big Shabbat right before Passover. So one reason, and I'm going to try not to live up to this, is that the learned person who offers the sermon on Shabbat HaGadol speaks for a really, really, really long time. It makes it a big Shabbat, and people come home late from the service. And somebody was complaining about that already in the 13th century. Another reason that's offered is that this Shabbat, like all those other special Shabbatot, gets its name from an important line in the Haftorah. So when you're listening to the chanting of Malachi next after the Torah reading, you'll hear, Hine Anochi, Shaleach Lachem, behold, I send you Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of Yom Adonai Gadol V'Nora, the great and awesome day of the Lord. And there's that messianic eschatological association with Passover. We're coming to redemption. Well, that's one reason. But of course, even in the 13th century, there were other reasons. Yaakov ben Asher, known as the Tur, says that Shabbat HaGadol is given the name HaGadol because of the Nes Gadol, the great miracle that was performed for Israel, beginning on the 10th of Nisan, which, as the rabbis figure out from the Torah narrative, came on Shabbat before the first Passover. Every Israelite family took a lamb and tied it to their doorpost in preparation for the slaughter on the 14th of Nisan. So even though the 10th of Nisan no longer always occurs on a Shabbat, the last Shabbat before Pesach was given that name so that we could remember the beginning of the miracle of the passing over of the Israelites at Passover. Well, Rabbi Ari Kahn extends this teaching of the Tur in a slightly different direction. He plays on the meaning of Gadol as not just big or great, a word which more or less has dropped out of my vocabulary these days, but also Gadol, grown up or mature. Rabbi Kahn says that when Bnei Yisrael took those lambs to prepare for the slaughter on the 14th of Nisan, that very act was what marked the maturation of the Jewish people. It didn't take going out of Egypt. It didn't take running through the sea. It was that act of responding to a commandment. That's the moment when Bnei Yisrael got big and grew up, when we became active participants in the redemption from Egypt. So Rabbi Kahn, Rabbi Peretz, and actually several other rabbis from many different streams of Judaism whose commentaries I read in preparing for this drash, draw from Hasidic teachings, especially those of the Sfat Emet, to develop a deeper understanding of Shabbat HaGadol, and these are the teachings that resonated most deeply for me. So, remember the first time in the Torah when we hear the commandment to keep Shabbat in Parashat Yitro? Shabbat is connected to creation. For in 6 days, Adonai made heaven and earth and all that is in them, and Adonai rested on the seventh day. So, the first pronouncement of commandments in the Torah, God's rest is the model for the human observance of Shabbat. Shabbat echoes the creation, the narrative of creation in Bereshit. We rest because God rested. The foundation of Shabbat, in other words, is theological. It's not natural, it's theological. But the second time we read the Ten Commandments in the Torah comes in Va'et Hanan in Deuteronomy. The language of the commandment links Shabbat with the Exodus. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Adonai your God freed you from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So not only do Bnei Yisrael have an obligation to rest, we must also remember that because we were slaves and strangers in Egypt, we have to make sure that the stranger who lives with us, anyone who works for us, our family, even all of our domestic animals, all have to have the opportunity to rest on Shabbat, because Shabbat commemorates Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. So the Shabbat, in this second iteration of the commandments, is connected to human Jewish experience, to human Jewish social structures and our responsibility in them. God rests, we must rest, and we must create the opportunity for everyone we associate with to rest as well. So now, it's not just theology, it's also history that's encoded in Shabbat observance. And that is what the Sfat Emet connects to Shabbat HaGadol. This Shabbat is HaGadol because Shabbat truly becomes big and great, great big Shabbat, when it gains this association with Yitziat Mitzrayim, with the Exodus. Shabbat HaGadol reminds us that Shabbat encodes history and theology. It points to divine actions and human experience. While the story of creation gives us the rhythm of Jewish time, 6 days we work and finally we rest, one day is devoted to noticing, accepting, and being grateful for the world we live in, that might seem like enough for Shabbat to do in our lives. But Shabbat HaGadol reminds us that Shabbat is actually even bigger than that. It signals not only rest, but also the human desire for freedom. Shabbat becomes really great big Shabbat, a full Shabbat, when Bnei Yisrael seeks freedom, when we grow up, when we accept responsibility, step up and act in the great drama of redemption from Egypt, Yitziat Mitzrayim, that goes on to this very day that we reenact once a year and that we sing about every Shabbat in the Shabbat Kiddush. So Shabbat and Pesach. Pesach reminds us that it is incumbent upon every one of us to relive that experience of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Shabbat reminds us to rest and be grateful. And Shabbat HaGadol? Well, what can we do to take action toward greater human dignity and freedom today? The Zohar says that Pesach doesn't just mean skipped over, or it also could mean hovering and protecting, but the Zohar doesn't say that. It means that Pesach is when we get a Pesach, an open mouth, a mouth that speaks, a fluent tongue. In other words, Pesach is the holiday that enables us to open up our mouths. Pesach allows us to speak our message, freedom, no more bondage, no more imposing ourselves wittingly or unwittingly on others. Read Rabbi Kosak's Song of the Oasis. No more bondage. Escape from the narrow places where we're stuck to broad open spaces with room for celebration. Pesach allows us to open our mouths to speak truth to power, to sing the songs that get us through the dark nights, to tell the stories that got us out of bondage, to take rest meaningfully on the seventh day. For us to take rest, our sons, our daughters, anyone who works for or with us, any animals from whose labor or companionship or death or wildness we benefit, the stranger who lives in our settlements. Pesach reminds us that we were strangers and we must open our mouth on behalf of the stranger. And Shabbat HaGadol pushes us in that direction. So Shabbat HaGadol, let's open our mouths with gratitude for creation and also with the words that speak our message of restoring human dignity and helping to bring about freedom. Then we can rest on a Shabbat that is truly Gadol. Shabbat Shalom.